No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If they did, the new piece would pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.'"
Just real quickly before we dive into the sermon, we're going to have how many of our college kids are headed off before next Sunday? I know Andrea is. Anybody else headed off before next Sunday? Looking back, okay. Yes, right there, Lindsay is. Okay. If y'all aren't aware, if we haven't done enough things in 18 years of your life, we love you both very much. And we are excited about launching you into this new thing. And we know that we'll always be a home for you, but we also want to bless you to engage in a church home in those new places, and that as you engage in the life of God in those new places, that new things will be revealed. And when you come back home to us, guess what? You'll be new and different people, and we're very excited about that. And because we'll be praying for our students next week, I'm just going to take it on myself to pray for the two of you this morning. Do y'all mind standing and coming to the front real quickly? Real quickly, come on. We won't make it too painful. I'll come to you if you won't come to me, so I'm wireless. Our Father and our God, we are thankful for all the students that come our way. And we're thankful particularly for these two, and it's so interesting in the which the my 11 years has been able to allow me to watch them grow so much, not as much as their parents or so many around here. We thank you for who they are, but we want to thank you for what you want to do with them, how you want to shape and form them for even greater and more powerful service in new places and in new ways. We look forward to the way we're going to see you grow them and bless them and help them. May they know that every single step that they take is made with you right there beside them. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, and we all say, amen and amen. We love y'all very much. I don't know if you're one of those people who forget. Anybody ever forget? You may or may not want to forget. It may not be that big a deal as to the whether, you know, you forget to feed the dog one day. That can happen. Or it's not that you forget to feed the dog that day. It's just that when you get back home after being gone all day, you discover that the dog is holding the bowl, sitting at the door and kind of whining in a way that's unique and special. But there are other things that we forget sometimes, and we work very hard not to forget them. Birthdays. Anniversaries. Things akin to that. Now, let's be sure and say, Bible even tells us, don't honor special days. No day is greater than the other. And if you quote that to your wife when you forget your anniversary, you're going to be even more in trouble than you were when you began. We're wired in different ways, and there are those of us who are wired in a way that says, you know, a particular instant is not as important as what goes on all the time, and that's very true. The celebration of an anniversary should not be the exception of the celebration of the love of the marriage, but should be just a reminder that we're coming back to that one more time. And maybe it's even the people whose internal wiring don't necessarily set up to worry about one day over another. Oh, don't worry about my birthday, just whenever is fine, whatever is fine. Don't worry about that anniversary, whenever, whatever is fine. Maybe those are the people that are most impacted when we say, no, I'm going to stop. I'm going to take a reckoning. Because our relationship is important to me. And not just our relationship, but you are important to me. And so I don't know what you use. Google Calendars has become a wonderful thing for me. I can put a reminder in there. I can set it for every year, and it comes up 2 weeks in advance. And that way I get to be the one who comes up to Sharon and says, honey, what are we going to do for our anniversary this year? Now, that doesn't mean that I get it all done by the time we get to that day and make it all right, but I can sometimes at least be a little bit ahead of it. I think God kind of understood that if we're going to keep things a priority in our life, we need to set appointments around it. We need to keep a kind of a regular practice of putting Him in the middle. If you celebrate with us on a regular basis, when we come together on Sundays, you'll experience things that we do uniquely, some of which come very much centered in Scripture, some of which have kind of developed out of scriptural and theologically significant traditions. If you think our singing a cappella is interesting and unique, you're right. And to a certain extent, one of the reasons we do it is because it reminds us, it keeps us in a practice that worship is not a spectator sport. Worship is a participation. Can you say that word with me? Participation. We do the Lord's Supper every week. And I don't think for a minute that the heavens and earth would cease to exist if we missed it for some reason or another. It's very much a biblical concept to come together on the first day of the week. But we're not somehow or another satisfying God by that tradition. But what we do is it reminds us of how central Jesus is to everything that we do. And Mike did a great job of reminding us of that today. Reminders. Patterns and habits that bring us back to our very best priorities. We've been engaged in this series we're calling Count Your Blessings, and we're going through the process of kind of looking to where the Bible talks about the way God blessed something, and particularly kind of summarized in the last lesson, if you want to know. We'll be revisiting that phrase from Numbers chapter 6, the Lord bless you and keep you. What does that mean, and how does that fill our lives up, and what does it bring to us in its own unique way? What's special about it? Because it's more than just the idea that we have gifts, that God gives us good things. It's more than that. What we learned was the language of that word blessing is a cyclical kind of word. It can both mean to bless and it means to praise. And the thing that ties it together is the idea of relationship. That when God speaks His blessing on something, He is inviting that person generally to be engaged in a relationship with Him. That as He blesses, we praise. And as we give thanks, He bestows good gifts. Even that idea that as we kneel before Him, He lifts us up. Very powerful sense of invitation to relationship. And so it is a bit odd that we come to this place in Scripture where God says, not that He's blessing a person, but instead, again, from Genesis chapter 2, that God blesses the seventh day and He makes it holy because it's on that seventh day, that seventh moment, that He chooses to rest. He has completed, and He looks back, and He says it's good, and then He blesses that seventh day. If we're to understand that, we're going to have to understand the concept, and Jesus refers to it in His ministry on a continual basis, but it comes up all throughout the Old Testament. The idea of Sabbath. Can you say that with me? Sabbath. That's one of those words that we have several of them in the Bible that we've simply taken the old language and changed the letters into English and pronounced them. Shabbat in Hebrew, Sabbath in English. Because it's bigger than just the idea of translating it. Not just the idea of rest, it's not just the idea of stopping, because God has taken that idea of the seventh day and made it holy, of the rest and made it holy. Again, it can be that idea that we're going to join God in stopping. We're going to join God in resting. We're going to join God in the midst of a busy, busy life of being still. It will enter into the language of the 10 instructions that God gives His people. It's recorded in Exodus chapter 20, and there God says, honor the Sabbath. Be sure you keep it holy. And you do that because God blessed it in the original creation. What's interesting is that we turn a couple of books over, and the law is repeated by Moses to the people, not when it's given at Sinai, but it is repeated before they go into the land of Canaan, before they cross the Jordan River, before Moses passes leadership on to Joshua. He wants to remind them of the law. It's not that the Sabbath has fallen out of what they are to honor, but it has a little bit different purpose. Deuteronomy, he says, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy because you were once slaves and you had no choice about your schedule. And every day was the same and it never changed. You were once slaves and God has, without your effort, this is critical, without you lifting a hand, God has brought you out of Egypt. He has now brought you through these 40 years in the wilderness, although that's not in the language. God has cared for you, and you're going to honor the Sabbath, and it's going to recognize the way God has provided, and it's going to recognize, it's going to be a signal to you, you're going to remember when you didn't get to make choices about things like that. Sabbath's a very different concept today. It took everything that everybody could give on a continual basis to make sure that there was water to cook with, wood to cook with, food that would be available to be served, that there were animals being cared for so that they could provide for us all through time, that we were always finding new pasture. The busyness of simple survival could fill up an entire life. And it's quite remarkable that God would say, take a moment out of your, I don't know if we want to call it a struggle for survival. It wasn't always a struggle. But that you take a minute, a moment out of your processes of providing for yourselves and stop. Because God stopped at creation and blessed the idea of resting. And because God cared for you in a way that you couldn't care for yourself, and you need to remember how God cares for you. So God calls us into this celebration, this observance, this stepping into, maybe even we could say working at, a Sabbath rest. He calls us to that, I believe, and He blesses that seventh day because He realizes in a very powerful sort of way, at the moment of creation, that the relationship with Him is going to need maintenance. That it needs to stop every once in a while and be rekindled. It needs to be remembered. And so, He says, this is a Sabbath, and I want to fill it up with relationship. Not that He has a relationship with the seventh day so much as He wants to have a relationship with us. And He says, I want to carve out time for you. And He says, I want you to work at finding the time to rest. And I think Ozzie's word is very appropriate. Not just rest, but to be still in a relationship with me. the battle today isn't simply about how far we're going to have to walk and how many days it's going to take to have enough water to be sure that we can cook everything and wash everything. And then, of course, special times where we want to cleanse ourselves or cleanse our home in special ways. And so it's just going to take that much effort to haul up that much water from the well, however far away it was, and all those kinds of things. You can see how that could be a consuming, time-consuming process. We don't worry about those things. We turn on the faucet. By the way, that's not true all over the world, but it is true in our society. And I'm not sure, but I wish God would have said something about, and stop not only from your work, but stop from all your distractions. Because we live in a world that if we were to allow it, we can fill every single moment, not just with a distraction, but with myriads of distractions. Whether it's your internet work, whether it's your TV work, whether it is your go out and find the next fun thing to do work, and just for you old school people, it might even be the work of picking up the paper and making sure you get through the crossword on that particular day. We can find lots of things to distract us. But do we work? Are we purposeful? Do we take real steps towards trying to make sure that God is included in our life? We call them the Ten Commandments, and I use that word so you'll know what it is. But again, God's instructions to us include that idea of honoring the Sabbath very early in the process, very much in the relational end of that list of instructions, right before the relationship of parent and child is taken into consideration. But you know what? That's not all that the Bible has to say about that. Sabbath was intended to kind of fill up things even more than that. Let's read, particularly from Leviticus. Oh, anytime you say, let's read from Leviticus, if you know Leviticus, you kind of take a deep breath. Oh, goodness. But let's read from Leviticus chapter 25 real quick. The Lord said to Moses on Mount Sinai, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land, I'm going to give you the land itself. And here we step into the way in which God created the land and said it was good. The creation has its own goodness in God's eyes. And God says, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. Rest, a stillness. For 6 years sow your fields, and for 6 years prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a Sabbath of rest. Even the land is to exercise this idea of rest. Keep going. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows itself. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. Whatever the land yields during the Sabbath year will be food for you, for yourself, your manservant, maidservant, the hired worker, and temporary resident who live among you, as well as your livestock and the wild animals in your land. Whatever the land produces may be eaten. And then, and by the way, are there any farmers here? I know at least one. Maybe there are a few gardeners. How hard is it to leave the garden alone for 1 year? How hard is it to just say, I think it's just going to do its own thing? Shall I put it in terms that maybe we understand? What if God said, every 7 years of your career, I want you to stop, and I want you to live off of whatever is saved up? Because in reality, that's what he's asking them to do. And so it isn't simply the idea that somehow or another the land is supposed to celebrate the Sabbath, but it's one more reminder, I'm going to take care of you. And the more you fret, the less you know my faithful and good care. But then he comes to this verse 8. Count off 7 Sabbaths of the year, 7 times 7 years, so that the 7 Sabbaths of years amount to the period of... By the way, aren't you glad your math teacher didn't talk that way to teach you what 7 times 7 was? Every 49 years, we're going to take a very special sense of resting. I think we have one more. Then have the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day, the 7th month, Day of Atonement. Sound the trumpet throughout your land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. There shall be a jubilee for you. Each one of you is to return to his family property, each to his own clan. The 50th year will be a jubilee, a celebration. And the unfortunate thing is when we read the history of Israel, they never seem to get there. Never seem to find God's jubilee. Sabbath. The idea of stopping. The idea of letting God fill up a time. Not work. And particularly in our society, not the distractions. But letting God fill up a time. Ultimately, Jesus will speak into the Sabbath, and he will, as we read from Mark, he'll say, you know, Sabbath wasn't made for man to be a servant of Sabbath. Instead, the Sabbath was generated as a gift to man. It's supposed to bring him to better things and bless him in special ways. Not made for man, but not man made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath made for man. And I think in that we have to discover the core of what's going on. God wants to bring us back to what is primary. We can get so caught up in chasing our career. We can get so caught up in enjoying all our distractions that we forget that those are not the primary things in life. God is. And it is our habits that either support that or push that to the side. Priority. So real quickly, how are we going to live into Sabbath? First of all, there needs to be a daily, and I would say a weekly, and I would go so far as to say even an annual sense in which you plan your life. Let me say it again, that you work toward God's rest. I don't want to stand here and say it has to be a particular day. I don't even want to say that it has to be a particular amount of time. But you need to be able to identify. And parents, you need to be able to communicate to your children. This is when I stop for God. And this is how we do it. Make no mistakes, coming here for a few hours on Sunday, coming here for just over an hour on Sunday is not likely to empower the kind of transformation that God wants to do in your life. Just 5 or 10 minutes a day is not likely to be able to do it. Just a half a day or man, maybe you can even one day really isolate yourself in such a way as to be still. Or annually to take a couple of days where it's not about going off to do something. Fishing trip, hunting trip, Six Flags, whatever. But it's just about, can we be still? But it is the process of trying to incorporate those things into our life that can help us bring God more and more to the center. Secondly, I want to be sure you hear. It's not a private thing. God will talk about giving being something that we keep private, that we don't advertise what we do. But when God talks about Sabbath things, he talks about everybody in your neighborhood should know it's Sabbath. Your manservant, your maidservant, your neighbor, everybody who's associated with you ought to know. I'm stopping today for this purpose. And maybe in that to share the blessing a little bit. But ultimately, Jesus reminds us over and over again, it has to be an attitude of the heart, an attitude of the spirit. It cannot simply be checking boxes off of the body and the mind. It has to be an invitation for God to transform us. Again, to make primary things primary and secondary and tertiary things pushed away. And so we come to a teacher's, an educator's blessing. And I think this fits in a very powerful sort of way. Because when we bless our teachers, we want good things to come from them. And there are so many things that our teachers, our educators, educational staff have to be involved in. Their lives can become a busyness almost like no other busyness. And so when we bless, we're inviting them to come back to the most important things. And we pray a blessing on you that as your busyness increases in this year, you don't forget about carving out that time for God. We want to pray His blessing over you. And this morning, we want to kind of single you out that for that special kind of attention. And we have a whole lot of different groups. And I'm going to ask you to stand, and it won't be too painful. Sorry about that. I promise. You don't have to come down front. I'm not going to embarrass you like Lindsay. Do we have any first-time teachers here? Are there any people that are headed into their first classroom? Okay, well then let's just do this. If you are one of those folks who is the hands-on teacher in any of our levels of school, whether it's preschool, elementary, high school, junior high, or high school, would you please stand at this time? And let's hold our recognition just for a moment. Very special people. Amen. In addition to those folks, I know we have people here who are administrators or are various kind of staff people in those situations. And if you're one of those, would you please join them in standing in different ways? Whatever that role may be. I know we have preschool teachers here, and I want to be sure that we single Barb out and maybe a couple of other people that are teaching that way. I also know that we have some folks in our church that homeschool, and I want to be sure that every mom and dad that are involved in specifically in homeschooling their children would stand at this time as well. Church, these people need our support and need our love. And we want to remind them that education is very important. We want you to remember that the most important things you teach children is that there is a God and He loves them. And on the other end of the spectrum, we want to challenge you that to be a teacher that honors God is to be the very best teacher of your subject that you can possibly be, or the best administrator, or the best helper in whatever way you do that. We challenge you in those things. Church, could you please affirm these folks at this time? So those of you who are standing can sit down for a minute because Roger's going to come up. I'm going to word a blessing, but we're going to ask you in just a second. He's going to ask you to stand back up, and if you'll do that first. And then church, we want you, when he has them stand, wherever they are, that they would sense the power of God and the Spirit of them by the physical touch of your hands and your nearness in proximity to them as he words that prayer. If you could help us with that, we would appreciate it very much. Roger, give it to you.
So in Matthew 25, we're told that we all are given a unique, special gift or ability. It's all of us. No one is left out. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says that each is given a special way of serving others, each of us, not just some of us. So you as our teachers, whether you're in a classroom here at church or children or adults, you're in Sunshine School or all the classes that Alan mentioned, all the way up through our college here, we want to say a special thank you to you and a blessing to you. You have been given certain skills by God. You're able to love. You're able to be more patient. You're able to encourage others. Those are special gifts that God has given you. You're not the answer to all of society's problems, but you are a solution in our society.
Amen.
So much for our excuses that we don't have anything to offer, or I can't do anything. And also the opposite of I have to do everything myself. In 1 Corinthians, we're told that service to each other and to each other of us brings glory to God. And we want to thank you for the service that you give that brings that glory to God. If you would stand now, and then people can gather around and place their hands on you as we word a prayer. Paul says in 1 Timothy, to fan into flame the gift that has been given you. Or like we would say today in the beginning of a school year, go get them. We're with you. Father God, thank you so much for these people who have given their lives to help others in education, in your word, in life, in their families. Father, thank you for the patience that you've given them, for the education, for the willingness to go into people's lives and encourage them. We pray that you'll be with them on those days that are so wonderful, when the students seem to appreciate what they're being taught. But we be with them especially on those days when it doesn't seem that they can get anyone's attention. Bless them in the work and the effort that they put into their lessons and their plans, the hours they stay after, and the hours they work at home. Thank you, Father, for the love that they share with our children and our grandchildren and us in each of our classrooms. Thank you, Father. Help us each to give you glory with the unique gift that you've given each one of us. In his name we pray. Amen.
And so the invitation today is to continue that prayer. The invitation today is to find the way that you're going to carve out those times in a day, in a week, in a year, that you're going to make special effort. You're going to work to make God's rest part of your life. And if in any way you need to publicly make a response to make that more part of who you are, then we invite you to do that at this time. But in reality, if honoring Sabbath is very much about recognizing our need for and our dependence on God, there may be no better time to say, God, I want to enter into your rest through the waters of baptism, where it's no longer me struggling with sin, but I offer it up to you, and I take on your rest, and you fill me with your Spirit. If we can help you in any way today, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
Hark, the gentle voice of Jesus calleth tenderly upon your ear. Sweet his cry of love and pity calleth.